turundusuudised .
This time the news comes from Euromonitor. Euromonitor published news about retail trends in Australia. And as competition in Australian retail market has intensified, with local retailers forced to respond with enhanced e-commerce offerings, discounting and improved customer service. The shopping experience has become increasingly important for customers. Many apparel companies are offering interactive experiences, digital displays, personal shoppers and redesigned store layouts to win back customers. Mass merchandise Target is focusing on its in-store experience with new look stores, featuring in-store baristas, click and collect, free personal service, Style Me, and a custom t-shirt printing station, allowing customers to have a custom t-shirt printed from $14. The in-store experience is anticipated to be a key focus for apparel companies, with the strategy having a strong influence on purchasing decisions. Apparel manufacturers are expected to take a holistic approach to the strategies, enhancing both the digital and in-store offerings, and offerings such as personal shoppers, digital displays and click and collect will become the norm as retailers look to bring customers back to the stores. So how would you comment the news, and how much news is it?
Well, it's news and yet it isn't. It's another step in a endless evolution of the retail scene. If we go back far enough, we can see stores behaved in a way that would be unimaginable to us today, keeping merchandise away from customers in locked cabinets where nothing could be touched without the intervention of a salesperson. People who don't remember this or are too young can go to the open-air museum. You've got a village shop set up there showing people exactly how it was. And it wasn't unique to Estonia. It was the same in the whole world. You may have seen on TV the Mr. Selfridge television series, and in the very first episodes, he was causing mayhem in the London retail world by allowing customers to buy ready-to-wear items and try them on and to parade around the shop touching product, which was unthinkable at that time. So what we see as new and innovative today will be considered pretty normal in a couple of years' time. And if we want to avoid being left behind, we need to make a real effort to maintain our awareness about these new developments, but also to consider which ones we should adapt and what might be really helpful for our customer in our own environment. You mentioned personal shoppers. This began in luxury department stores some time ago, aimed for high-spending VIP customers. And it's a little of a novelty, I would argue, for the rest of us in the sort of mass market world. I think for us in mainstream mass market retailing, it's more important to make sure that all of our sales teams are ready to actually help customers with up-to-date product knowledge. They're not afraid of talking to people, and that they should be willing to help customers with their shopping at the level that's appropriate for the individual customer within the different retail environments that exist. I'm always surprised at how quickly we can assume that a customer holding one or two items has finished shopping. Men especially hate to shop, and if a salesperson would be brave enough to keep going, pushing more and more things into this chap's basket, many, many men would happily spend more if it meant that they wouldn't need to come shopping again this year. So we should think about all of our sales teams in stores as providing a personal shopping service. And we should make sure that customers know that we are actually here and ready, and it's our job to help them. And my comment about men, it applies exactly the same way to a busy mum shopping for kids in the run-up to September the 1st, when you need to get ready for school and you've got an endless list of things to do and no time. Integrating offline and online tools to make a holistic customer experience, it's no longer optional. And you know, online and offline media should be synchronised. It's a fundamental requirement for all retailers today. We use buzzwords like omni-channel to talk about these things. I'd perhaps describe it in a much simpler way if we thought about a personal friendship. If I talk with you, Anu, I've known you for some years, whether I'm speaking with you at home or at a party or in a radio studio, I should still be communicating with you in the same way. I am the same person. I have the same personality. I have the same values. I have the same dodgy sense of humour. And I should be consistent in the way I talk with you, whether we're face-to-face or on Facebook or on the telephone or at home, or whether I'm sending you a text message. And omnichannel is the same thing. All the ways that we communicate with our customer should be consistent. And the challenge for us in business is that the Facebook posting, the in-store conversation, and the email are probably written by three different people in three different departments. And so we have to work very, very hard and describe these complicated business principles like omnichannel to try and encourage all those people to behave in a consistent way with the same customer.
And by the way, none of the three persons have ever met the customer to whom they are writing.
Absolutely not. But they all work for the same company. And so the critical challenge for the company is to make sure that it knows what its personality is, it knows what its values are, and it knows whether it has a sense of humour or not, and that it tells all of its people, and that they all have the same understanding.
Are there anything in this news that you say that that these are the things that probably should be adopted in Estonia? Or you say that, okay, it's Australia, other part of the world, we shouldn't care, just take a look, as the market here is so much smaller and so much different.
No, I think most of the things that we see around the world are relevant to us here in Estonia. Australia has been seen for a long time as perhaps lagging slightly behind the UK or the United States in the general retail environment. And what has happened is that other people have entered the market and the competitive environment has become a lot tougher. And that's exactly the same for us here in Estonia. We used to have a small number of shopping malls filled with pretty much a local retail offer. We've seen international brands come to Tallinn from all over the world trying to find growth for their businesses. We've seen the development, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years in Estonia, of e-commerce, which has we were perhaps a little bit late in adopting as a nation, maybe because of language constraints partly, and partly around different payment methods. But now we see the Estonian consumer is very, very happy to interact with global brands who may or may not be here in Tallinn. So the things that are happening in London or New York, or in your example in Australia, are absolutely relevant to the Estonian retail scene. Thinking about those exact points that Target were looking at, I suppose one of the most exciting things for me is personalization. We've seen this grow in international retail for quite some time, and we've seen bespoke and one-off products move from a real luxury item towards the mass market. For example, having a suit made or a dress made was a luxury thing in Western European countries, whereas here in Estonia we might have had a dress made as a much more everyday occurrence because we didn't have a developed retail offer to choose from. But now we see one-off pieces being commercialized in big businesses and in big brands, and we see personalization as a great way for a customer to interact with a brand and end up with a unique product. One of the fears we have when looking at dresses particularly is to turn up at a party and find that 10 people are wearing the same thing. So if you were able to adapt your product and still interact with the brand you want to, take their design expertise and taste and produce an item which reconciles all of these inputs, it's a great outcome. My daughter was able to go to the Converse store in San Francisco some years ago and order a one-off pair of pumps where she chose the fabric, she chose the colour, she chose the laces, she chose which of their boot styles it was all going to be put together into. They made it for her and they put it in the post. It turned up in the UK about 3 weeks later on. But she had a unique thing that was at the same time an expression of her personality and the Converse handwriting. They didn't charge a fortune for it. I think it was about $10 more than the off-the-peg item. And she was able to interact with a brand that she loved in a great new way. So I'm excited about personalization and about bespoke items which enable customers to be involved in that product development process themselves. I think that's a great thing to explore here. But we must also make sure we have some of the basics in place before we get too carried away.
Yeah, before we go to in-store baristas.
Well, if I was going into any one of a number of nameless Estonian department stores, I'd rather see somebody smile at me and say hi than know that they had in-store baristas and digital signage.
And no one saying hello to yes. you, none of them. Yeah, I think that the talk about the digital signs has been active for I don't know how many tens of years already. But of course, we have to say that slightly we get the digital signs in store, but in the other or digital displays. But on the other side, it's difficult to say that it has anyhow changed our shopping experience. Just there, it just, of course, I understand for the retailers, maybe it's easier, okay, with a digital signature to change the prices and these things, I understand, but this is like a good housekeeping. It's not something that welcomed with the customers. We really warmly waited for you and want to help you with everything you need. It might be that for the looking at the cost side, the digital signage is a rather big cost item, isn't it? But from the customer point of view, it's difficult to take the maximum out of it.
I think, like all of these things, we need to understand whether it adds any value to the customer's engagement with the store or not. If we're talking about the little sign that displays the price of the milk in the supermarket, whether this is paper-based or digitally-based probably doesn't change the customer's desire to buy that litre of milk or not, as long as the price is clearly communicated. So I wouldn't invest a huge amount of money in that. But if we were talking about a slightly bigger ticket item, a more expensive product, where it's important to show and describe, perhaps using a short video, for example, to the customer how this product would benefit them, either how to use it or how to integrate it. Great examples have been things like some of the kitchen gadgets that we can use to chop up salad into fancy shapes in under 30 seconds and produce a fabulous looking spread for the dining table. It's really hard to communicate that to a customer without either showing them yourself or using a little video. We used to see people demonstrating in department stores in the West quite regularly, demonstrating these types of devices. Having somebody stand there and do that is still possible here in Estonia, but it's become too expensive in New York or in London. So there, the little video screen is really, really useful. And perhaps better, a video screen that sits there and is available for every customer than a member of staff who could be doing something else or might not be so keen on talking to that customer. So these innovations all have a place and a part to play, but we need to be selective in the way we deploy them and where we invest our money. But start from the question, is it going to help my customer or not? And if it's not helping the customer, then perhaps it's not something we should be doing.
Very good. I totally agree with you, but of course it might be a bit difficult being inside the business to understand about the focus, as everyone sometimes has different understanding of the things.